How's everyone doing tonight? That's great to hear. Everyone excited about the new year coming up? Was it 4 hours, 5 hours now? I'm excited. My number one fan. Alright. Tonight, we're basically going to be talking about baptism, because when you think of a resolution, you know, the things that people make when it comes to New Year, if you think about it, everyone's all usually like, I'm going to stop smoking if they smoke, or I'm going to lose weight. But if you think about it, baptism is a resolution in itself, except for it's the ultimate resolution. So, I guess I like to talk about baptism and think about it because I'm newly baptized. It hasn't even been a year yet, and I still get this feeling. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Life is so much better now. And even when I see, like, someone get baptized, you still get that feeling. I don't know, people, like, have been baptized longer than I have. Do you still get that feeling? It's just that amazing feeling, like, wow, that person, oh, they're just so better off now. It's amazing. And I don't know, I just can't get enough of that feeling. If I could watch it on TV every day, I would. They should make a program that's just that. You would. I don't know, sometimes there's that evangelistic point that I like to go around. Like, I think it'd be cool to just bring someone to the church and get them to be baptized. To just, like, you can almost take part in their feeling. Like, you'll have that memory that they have for the rest of your life. Just would be cool. Every day I wake up and I think about a year ago, what would I have woken up, and my first thought would be not being baptized. I'm telling you, it would be nothing like they are now. Now I just wake up and I thank God. I look at, like, today, I looked outside, bright blue skies, and it's December. It was amazing. It might have been cold, but still, enjoy it. I don't know about you guys, but do you guys get those feelings? No. Howard said baptism is the ultimate resolution. You make it once and hopefully you save your life. I mean, just live by the book and you should be good. But I'm going to read to Romans 6:4 if you guys want to turn with me. It's just kind of talking about baptism and the benefits from it. So, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So, we're dying to the old life, coming to the new, which is a great thing. The dictionary, if you look up resolution, it states firmness of purpose. And I don't know, to me, when I read that, it just says God right there. Giving your life a purpose, it's hard to see a life with a purpose if it's not baptized. I mean, everyone needs to have that feeling. Everyone needs to be baptized. And if you're not baptized, just read the word and I'm sure that he will call you. If you want to turn to Numbers 32, please. Chapter 30, verse 2. No, just be baptized and hopefully you live your life for God after that. Repent from all, if you were in the life of sin, repent from that. Just try and live your life clean and pure. When a man takes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break to this word, but must do everything he said. So, I So a couple months, well, not a couple months, a couple months ago, I just felt, I asked myself, am I living life like I should now that I've been baptized? And it took me like a week. I just thought about it every chance I had, and I'm like, and then I thought about how I was a year ago, and I'm like, you know what, I am. And there's always something I feel like I can do more, and it's what keeps me excited, I guess. But there's always something extra. But taking an oath, being baptized is, to me, taking an oath to God that you're going to live your life since you have a fresh new life and you're knowledgeable enough to start it out and not have to live through experiences that you might have lived through before you were baptized. But it's just a great chance at a new life. I don't know, I just, when we were talking about baptism, this is a kind of a little side note, but have you guys ever thought what it would be like to be John and baptize Jesus? Like, wouldn't that be, not creepy, but it'd give you like this amazing feeling, but it, like, think about it if it was like now time in the year 2000 and almost 7, like, you know all this great thing, all the great things that he's done, and you baptize him, and I don't know, just kind of gets me shaky a little. But that, I think that would be cool. I work at a grocery store, so I see a lot of people, and you see all types of people come in, and sometimes we'll be like, I wonder if they go to church, or I wonder if they've been baptized, and then there's incidents where you're like, probably not. But it kind of just makes you, like, I just want to have, like, one of those Gideon Bibles, or like, the little ones you can keep in your pocket, and just pass it out to them, because it's like, you have a chance, take it, please. And, I don't know, I just kind of get this sad feeling in my heart for them, and it's not good. But, we want to turn to Galatians 5:19. This just kind of talks about some things, and there's some big sin, and then there's like little sin that you wouldn't think would be in there. So let's just turn there and talk about it. It's going to be 5:19 through 26. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, I take that as being baptized, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So, pretty much, don't do any of that stuff. And there's even, like, idolatry. I mean, you could take that all the way down to, man, I love wearing Nike shoes. I idolize them. I'm not going to buy anything but them, in a way. But basically, when you leave here today, I just want you to ask yourself this. When I see people at work or just along the street and they're saying, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, I'm going to quit smoking, just, I don't know, maybe if you want, hopefully you do, go up and tell them, look, I go to this church, it's a wonderful church. If you want to make a New Year's resolution, just start coming. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee you, but believe me, once you go there once, which is what happened to me, you're just going to want to go there the rest of your life, and you're going to get baptized, and that's the ultimate resolution that you can make. All that stuff doesn't matter. So, thank you, and I'd like to introduce Rory.
I lost 40 pounds once. And then I think somebody had it put on the back of one of those milk cartons, because I found it again real quick. Real, real tough. Anybody know what today is? Heathen. All of you are heathen. New Year's Eve. It's the Lord's Day. Come on, give me a break, would you? You weren't going to win it all. If you'd have said the Lord's Day, I'd have said, come on, people, it's New Year's Eve. Catch up, would you? Goodness gracious. You guys hear it's going to rain money tomorrow? Did anybody hear that? Oh, is that the only one? I'm turning on AM 1000 on my way here, and the forecaster said it. I couldn't believe it. If it wouldn't have been Steve Poole, I'd have called him a liar, but he said it right there. There's going to be change in the weather. That's what he said. Okay, I retire a joke every year, you know, so that one, that had to be it. All right. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. Johnny gave us just that wonderful look at baptism, and baptism is a resolution, and the excitement of baptism as we're entering this new year. And some of you sat there and said, well, you know, I'm baptized. You know, this is great. This is good information. I like it, but I'm there. I've done it. I've made the decision. I've taken the plunge, got my feet wet. I ran away a couple times, came back. However, the second part of our message this evening is speaking to you people that have already been baptized. And the question is this. Do you ever forget that you've been baptized? Well, you say, no, Rory, I don't forget I've been baptized. What are you talking about? Who forgets they've been baptized? Well, we'll draw a dichotomy here. You have the subjective reality, the thing in your head that says, yeah, I was baptized. Some of you even remember the day. For me, it was a fairly easy decision to make, you know. I'm sitting in a prison cell of all places, and I'm thinking, you know, if there's a scale up there, if God's got this scale, and he's weighing my good deeds and my bad deeds, I just might not come out too well. I might be burnt in this whole situation. So anything I could do to avoid that whole scale altogether, let's just wipe that out, God. Let's not talk about that. And we'll find a different method. And thankfully, in Christ Jesus, he provided that method for us. However, as I said, there's times, I think, in our lives when we forget that we've been baptized. As I was reading through Scripture, I came to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Turn with me there, if you will. I'm reading verses 11 through 14. And I found out that even the Apostle Peter forgot he was baptized. I said, Peter forgot he was baptized. Work with me for a minute. When Peter came to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? You see, Peter, a man grounded, had walked with Jesus and heard him speak and heard him teach, was led away from the freedom he had in Christ and the freedom that he was supposed to share with other people by the sin that came from James. How often am I led away? How often are we led away in our lives by pride, by our peer group, by situations we find ourselves in? Just a personal confession on my own part, lately I've been struggling remembering that I am baptized when I'm at work. People say things, people do things, my boss is a jerk. Okay, I can say that because he's not here. Alright, but and I find myself getting drawn into arguments and drawn into situations and acting in ways that I know are not in line with the truths that God's laid out for me in His Word. And you know, that's a situation that compounds itself. You know, later an opportunity presents itself maybe to talk about Christ. I gotta think, wait a minute, did I yell at this guy last week? You know, oh, goodness. So we'll say, it's a compounding thing. So in light of all these things, I was thinking, what do I want to do? What do I want? What resolution do I want to make? What life do I want to have in 2007? And after much deliberation, I decided, you know what? I want an easier life. That's what I want. I want my life to be easier.
You know what makes my life difficult?
No, it's not Carrie. Goodness, people. Come on. Oh,
can't believe you guys.
You know, it's not my busy schedule. It's not my bad credit. It's not my bills. It's not my lame boss. It's not that I manage my time about as well as I manage my sock drawer. It's sin. It's sin. Fairly simple. Fairly easy. In reading through Scripture as I came to the book of Romans chapter 7, I found that Paul had a problem with sin. In chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Body of death. Body of death. What's a body of death? Well, I got into looking at that. Turns out a body of death in New Testament times was a form of torture. What they would do is they would take a corpse, a dead person, and they would strap it to the body of a live person. And that live person would eventually die as that body decayed and rotted, strapped to them, on top of them. I thought, wow, what can I find to paint a picture of that? I called my mom. I said, "Ma, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to get on Google Images." She says, "What do you want me to look up?" I said, "Necrotizing fasciitis." She said, "Oh, you're kidding. You want me to look at pictures?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to put a picture on PowerPoint." She says, "All right." So she looks it up and says, "You're not putting these on PowerPoint." I said, "I don't know." So I went home and I looked, and no, I'm not. But if you can get this picture of what this body of death must have looked like, then you can get the reality, the vivid picture of how badly Paul wanted to remove this from his life. I mean, can you imagine having a decaying, rotted corpse strapped to your body and the desire with which you would have to be liberated from that? You see sin as a problem of that magnitude? Jesus had some strong feelings about it. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Now, I was under the understanding that since it's an all-nighter, I have till about 7 a.m., right? And just keep on going here.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Chris Jesse. I knew he'd give me some approval. Uh-oh, somebody run to the store. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. A lot of people say, well, that's hyperbole. That's an exaggerated figure of speech. Maybe it is, but Jesus paints a picture. And that picture is this condemnation, this disease that we all suffer from, sin, is something we need to desperately eject from our lives. I'm reminded of the words of Patrick Henry. You know what Patrick Henry said? Well, historian buffs. He said, "Give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death." That leads me to step one of my three-step program. Now, I always thought 12-step programs were too long, too many meetings. If I can do it in three steps and a third of the meetings, then we're doing good. Okay? Realize that Christ died so that you may have liberty. See, Patrick Henry had it confused. He was going to have the death if he couldn't have liberty. We have this wonderful situation where Christ died so that I could have liberty. His pain, my immense gain. Do you remember what was said when you were baptized? Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Step one, realize that Christ died so that you might have liberty. Turn with me to the mark of Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 17. through 21. Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. This is sometime after he was tempted in the desert. He's going to his hometown. He quotes from the prophet Isaiah as he reads, opens the scroll, and he tells the people gathered in the synagogue. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom, liberation for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He might have been talking about 2007. You never know. Turn with me briefly to Revelation chapter 1. I don't know, maybe. Verses 5 and 6. We'll start at 4. "John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." Think of those titles that Joe Jr. was talking about this morning. I can't think of that's cool. "The ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, Christ died so that you and I might have liberty. He has made us to be a kingdom, be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Let's turn back a couple books. We'll look at Titus. Let's call them the three keys, because it's easy to say Timothy, Titus. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." See, not only did I have a problem forgetting I was baptized, sometimes I have a problem forgetting I was redeemed. I found a solution for that one. I had it tattooed on my leg. Any old time now, I can just take a look. Oh, yeah, that's right. "Redeemed. The word refers to the liberation of a slave or a prisoner of war. A commentator speaking on redeemed in the original Greek says this: the laying down of his life, meaning Christ, as an atoning sacrifice was the cost demanded by divine justice to secure for sinners their freedom from..." Somebody fill it in for me. "Sin. Their freedom from sin, Satan, and the condemnation of the law." I hope this has reminded you of what your baptism accomplished. The word says that you were made a partaker of the divine nature. Brings me to step 2. Now that you realize that Christ died that you might have liberty, that you might have freedom from your sin, come to expect new things from yourself. I have some slides. Ted, help me out. I'm going to flip one of these switches, I think. Nope, I'm not going to flip a switch. Good. Okay, we're going to look for a common theme in here. All right, this is in my backyard. That there is a turtle, and that there is a hippopotamus. All right, they're hanging out. Good friends. Good friends. Next slide. Okay, that there, if you can't see it, is a honey bucket. Anybody tell me what's wrong with a honey bucket? It's floating in the water, yeah. Yeah, that's a fishing hole there in Kent for kids 14 and under. Nobody over 14 wants to fish in something that a honey bucket floats in, you know what I mean? Next slide. That's my cat playing poker. All right? He had a killer hand there. He had pocket aces. Look at that stack of chips. His name's Archie, if you want to send him any fan mail. He'd like it. Okay. Now, you see that Christmas tree? Yeah, but Christmas trees are usually pretty tall. Huh? You see that chair next to the Christmas tree?
Yeah.
Goodness, something ain't working out there. Kind of different. Do I have another slide before my text? No? Yes? No? Oh, yeah. Okay, speaking of Christmas trees, this guy tried to take his home on his car, apparently. I would go back to the lot and tell the guy he made a mistake when he loaded it on top. I'd be mad about that if it was me. Is that my last slide before the text? Okay. Now, there's a theme here. What's the theme? Things that do not fit. Certain things here just don't fit. It doesn't fit that my cat was at the poker table. It really doesn't fit that he was winning. Okay, a hippopotamus and a tortoise, that don't really fit. Doesn't make a lot of sense. You usually don't see a honey bucket floating in a lake. Doesn't fit. Something else that doesn't fit. Bring the next slide for me, would you, Ted? Reverend dismissed after sex allegations. The Reverend, I won't say it, Ted Hager, was dismissed Saturday as leader of the megachurch, 13,000 people, I think, he founded after a board determined the influential evangelist had committed sexually immoral conduct, the church said Saturday. Of course, he bought the methamphetamine, he just didn't smoke it. Not only is a drug addict, he's a bad steward of his money. Doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. You got an old car, all right? Some of us can relate. Got an old car and the motor blows up. You take it in. You get a new motor. You drive away. You're a couple blocks from the body shop or the you got the motor worked on there. It starts spitting and spewing and coughing. Thinking something's wrong. What is this? This is my new motor. It shouldn't do this. It doesn't make any sense. It's not what I expect from a new motor. My mom had a new furnace put in recently. Brand new furnace, nice thing. They come out, they put it in, and he tells me, you got to go out and buy some filters. 14 by 20 by 1. He tells me, all right, that's fine. I go out and buy a few filters. I come back, I put them in, they don't fit. Kevin was there with me. They don't fit. It was frustrating for me. Gaps, and they're all broken and stuff. It just don't work. It isn't going to work at all. I got on the phone, I called them back, took me 3 days. They come back here. This is a new furnace. I want these filters to fit. He comes back, oh, maybe I measured off a little bit. Buy a 14 by 19. I spent a day on the internet, they don't make a 14 by 19. I call him back again, I said, no. Come back. You're going to get back out here. You're going to get a filter that fits. Why? Because it's a new furnace. That's what I expect from a new furnace. I expect it to work right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Dead people don't often forget they're dead. You ever notice that? Kind of one of those things. Sticks with them. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Johnny shared this with us, noted that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The Greek there denotes a life that is fresh, rejuvenated, new in principle, a rejuvenation of your very life force. This is a new thing we're walking in here. Skip down a few verses to verse 7, because anyone who has died, anyone who has been buried with him in baptism, raised to the newness of life, now if you remember the second part of the verse, has been freed from sin, liberation, accomplished by Christ. Remember we talked about that? I took a class one time called Breaking Barriers. Mighty secular, but they said a couple of things I liked. One of them was an affirmation statement. Apparently, you know, we all have things we want. I want to be a better organizer of my time and things. So instead of saying, I want to be a better organizer of my time, I'm going to say, I am a good organizer of my time and I handle things responsibly. And I'm going to say it like it is, over and over and over and over again, and eventually I'm going to get the point. Hasn't worked as far as that's concerned yet, but I found as I was reading through Scripture what I call the ultimate affirmation statement. same chapter, Romans 6, verses 11 through 14. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not allow sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Excuse me. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
I am dead to sin, the Word says, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I want you guys to think about that tonight. I want you to take it with you. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. That's my affirmation statement for 2007. Every temptation that comes, I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin, and if I'm dead to it, the Word says, how can I live it any longer? Refuse to accept anything else from yourself. Just like you refuse a new motor that didn't work or a filter that didn't fit. Refuse it. It doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. You're a new person. You have a new life. Expect new things. Bear with me briefly. This is not necessarily how to win friends and influence people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul speaking again. Verses 26 and 27, he says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize. It's not a matter of how I'm going to look in 2007. It's not a matter of how much money I'm going to make. It's not a matter of how many friends I'm going to have. It's a matter of eternity. Will I spend eternity with God? Will I spend eternity apart from Him? I'm running short on time, so I'm just going to kind of gloss over the last part here, but essentially it was this, another thing from my breaking barriers. See through the pain to the pleasure. Dying is difficult. Death is difficult. One of the reasons I have so much trouble and problems with the quote-unquote holiness movement is because many of them are accomplishing that which I am too lazy to attempt. I don't like dying to sin. I don't like the work.
But you just said you're for that.
I am for it. I am for it.
You're not as horrible.
Because that's the battle. That's the difficulty. I don't like the work, but I realize...
Do that what you have to do.
I realize that if I want this life, see through the pain to the pleasure, there's going to be pain. There's going to be pain. And it's not just the life after death, my friend, although that is the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
It's also the life here. The Word says that God gave us a new life. Walk in this newness of life. Hebrews 12:4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be difficult. He goes on to say, remember that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. Exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this is probably a happier time than being without sin, because...
I sure hope so, because Christ had to pay a lot for it, didn't He?
People that live in sin, I mean, they're isolated from people. They're the opposite. They're unhappy people.
Exactly, and I think there's a verse that points that out, and I'll come close to wrapping it up on it. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 5-8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing I hate more than being ineffective and unproductive. I spend 40 hours a week, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, just stressed out because I'm ineffective and unproductive. Well, okay, maybe not.
And I'm going to wrap up here with a quote I found from C.S. Lewis.
Before he gave me this book, I'm getting a lot of mileage off of it. It's wonderful.
He says, "Put right out of your head the idea that these are only fancy ways of saying that Christians are to read what Christ said and try to carry it out, as a man may read what Plato or Marx said and try to carry it out. They mean something much more than that. They mean that a real person, Christ, here and now, in that very room where you are saying your prayers, is doing things to you. It is not a question of a good man who died 2,000 years ago. It's a living man, still as much a man as you, and still as much God as he was when he created the world, really coming and interfering with your very self, killing the old natural self in you, and replacing it with the kind of self he has, at first only for moments, then for longer periods. Finally, if all goes well, turning you permanently into a different sort of thing, into a new little Christ, a being which in its own small way has the same kind of life as God, which shares in his power, joy, knowledge, and eternity."
What book is that?
That's a book of quotes by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, that's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I thought that was Gandhi or something.
It looks kind of like it. If you pray with me.
Of course.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace sufficient to bring us through this last year. We thank you for the excitement we have in looking to the year ahead with you. We pray, Lord, that you would create in us such a heart, Lord, that desires the things you desire, that hates the things you hate, that grieves for the things you grieve. Most of all, Lord, that desires to reach out to people in the love that you desire to reach out to them with. May, Lord, we spend the year ahead of us as living expressions of your love, as you've indeed commanded us to do. Father, we pray for your grace upon each one of us as we leave here tonight, Lord, and as we travel. We pray for safety on the roads, Lord, as there will be those that make unwise decisions, Lord. May you shield us from their unwiseness. And Father, may you touch their hearts as well. We just thank you for the time we have together, Lord, and look forward to the new life that we have ahead with you. In the name of your Son, our gracious God and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.